Welcome to a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, or ERS. This podcast highlights an article from Amber Waves, the magazine of the Economic Research Service. We are joined now by Kathy Lipton, the Deputy Executive Editor of Amber Waves.
Thank you. USDA's food stamp program, now called SNAP, provides extra food money to over 30 million low-income Americans every month. Many families that receive assistance from SNAP leave the program after a few months, usually because they no longer need assistance. But recent ERS research found that a substantial portion of households are not able to purchase enough food for an adequate diet in the first few months after leaving SNAP. Here with me today to discuss this important issue is Mark Nord, the author of the Amber Waves article, Some Households Leaving SNAP Still Face Food Shortfalls. Mark, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm happy to be here.
As I mentioned in the introduction, SNAP is the new name for the food stamp program. What does SNAP stand for, and who does the program help?
SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And you've characterized it correctly as the government's new name for the food stamp program. SNAP is the largest of the federal food and nutrition assistance programs and currently helps about one out of every 10 Americans each month. The program is intended to ensure that even low-income households can afford a healthy, nutritious diet. Almost all households with incomes in the poverty range or just above are eligible. Households receive credits each month that they access electronically with a card that works like a debit card, looks just like a debit card. The amount they receive depends on their family size and income. The maximum benefit, which would be available to those with very low income or no income, is about enough to provide nutritious meals for a month at national average food prices.
So how long do households typically stay on SNAP, and why do they leave the program?
For most families joining the program, SNAP provides transitional assistance. About half of new entrants to the program leave within 8 months. Some do stay on the program for longer periods. You might think of low-income elderly, households with a disabled member, or someone who's employed but has very low earnings. In theory, the reason they leave the program is that they now do not need assistance to afford adequate food.
Your research looks at whether households can put adequate food on the table after they leave SNAP. Before we talk about the results of that study, can you explain how you measure whether a household can afford enough food?
That information comes from a USDA project called the Food Security Monitoring Project. And by food security here, we mean whether households can afford adequate food. It's based on data from an annual survey that USDA sponsors and the Census Bureau conducts once a year. It's an add-on to a survey of about 50,000 households that the Census Bureau conducts each month. This is the same survey that provides the nation's monthly employment and unemployment statistics. And then once a year, after the Census Bureau has finished asking about who's working and how many hours and so on, they ask the series of questions that USDA sponsors about how much households are spending on food, whether they get assistance from various assistance programs, and then a series of 10 to 18 questions about problems that households may have in meeting their food needs. For example, one of the questions is, did you eat less than you felt you should because there wasn't enough money for food? Or did you or other adults in the household cut the size of your meals or skip meals because there wasn't enough money for food? There's a range of these questions that cover kind of a range of severity, from things that aren't too serious, like worrying whether your food would run out, to conditions as serious as not eating for a whole day because you didn't have enough money for food. Then, based on how many of these potentially food insecure conditions the household reports, USDA classifies the household as food secure or food insecure. And food insecure households basically are those that had difficulty at times putting adequate food on the table. Within that range of food insecure households, we also identify a more severe condition called very low food security. And in these households, some of the members have reduced the amount they're eating, not just the quality of their diet or the desirability or nutritional content of their diet, but actually cutting back on the amount they eat. below the level that they think they should or the amount that they would consider adequate. So you could think of very low food security kind of as the tip of the iceberg and food insecurity as the entire iceberg.
So we would expect that when households leave SNAP, they would be able to meet their food needs without assistance. But your research indicates that it doesn't always work out that way.
That's right. We looked at households that reported that they received SNAP benefits sometime in the previous 12 months, that is in the 12 months prior to the food security survey, but not in the 30 days just prior to the survey. So we can think of these as recent program leavers. And we assessed their food security during that same 30-day period right before the survey. And many of these households did just fine, but about 35% had difficulty putting adequate food on the table. They were food insecure in the months shortly after leaving SNAP. And about 16% had very low food security. And you'll remember that this is a more severe range where household members are reducing their food intake below usual levels or below levels they consider to be adequate. These are higher rates than those that reported receiving SNAP benefits during the previous 30 days. And they're much higher than other low-income families, that is, families that would potentially be eligible for SNAP, but did not receive program benefits at any time during the year.
Then why do households leave SNAP when they still can't afford enough food?
That's an excellent question. It's one that we're still working on, and we have some hypotheses, but no definitive answer. Some may have left the program because their income increased. Maybe they got reemployed, so they're no longer eligible for the program. But during the time of being unemployed, they may have run up some credit card debt, may have incurred some other debts, they may have put off paying bills, they may have gotten behind on their rent. And during a period of several months, then after leaving the program, while they're working off this backlog, they may not have enough resources for an adequate diet. Others may have left the program even though their income was still low. Perhaps they were unable to meet work requirements of the program, or they were unable to get to the food stamp office or the SNAP office for recertification, or they might be in the category of adults who are unable to get benefits. If they have no dependents and they have no disability, they are only eligible to get a certain number of months of benefits unless they're also able to get employment. So it'll take some more time and research to answer these questions. What's clear at this point is that many households leave SNAP before they have the resources to meet their food needs without assistance.
Mark, this has been very interesting. Thanks so much for spending some time with us to share your findings. I've been speaking with Mark Nord, the author of the Amber Waves article, Some Households Leaving SNAP Still Face Food Shortfalls. You can reach Mark at 202-694-5433 or at marknord@ers.usda.gov. Mark also has another article in the June issue of Amber Waves. It's entitled Food Insecurity Less Prevalent in Canada Than the United States. You can access Mark's and other articles in the latest issue of Amber Waves at www.ers.usda.gov/amberwaves. In the June issue, you will also find articles about the slowdown in Russia's agricultural imports, the impact of rising food prices on traditional grocers, how farmers are affected by federal estate taxes, the weakening global economy and trade, and China's market reforms in agriculture. This is Kathy Lipton. Thank you for listening.
This has been a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service.